Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Well, hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm so excited to have you today. I'm so excited for our guest today, and I'm so excited just to get gritty with you to make sure that we're celebrating all of the glitz that comes up into our lives, but most importantly, giving ourselves the grace that we all deserve as we get ready to embark on just an amazing 2022. And our guest today is just going to fire you up. Her name is Jessica Peterson. And she is a mom of three children and two fur babies. She's a makeup artist and a beauty enthusiast. I told her as soon as I got on this podcast today, because we can see each other. I know you guys can't see us. I mean, her hair looks absolutely glamorous. She'll tell you all about that. She shares all about her life and all about beauty with makeup and wigs, lashes, fashion, and all of those great things that so many of us just know about, think about. And, you know, as we start a new year, what an amazing time to start to talk about her. She's an ambassador for Prime Body and FNX. She's also a top seller for Farmisa, which is a European-based beauty company, and she specializes in makeup. She absolutely loves supporting people. And if you watch her on social media, really helping women look and feel their very best definitely is her specialty, lifting them up and just making them feel better. So Jessica, welcome today. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I am so good. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so excited for everything that you're going to share. And especially just as we start, you know, always the start of a new year, just wanting to feel fresh and good and just about life in so many aspects. So, you know, you have had quite, you know, a run rate in success and where you've been and where you're going and your vision. Define to me a little bit about what success actually means to you and how do you measure success? Like, and maybe talk like a little bit about some of your accolades and some of the most recent successes that you even had in 2021.
Honestly, my definition of success, well, I mean, it's changing. It seems to change like every little while, but for the longest time as a single mom living on child support, success to me just meant not living on child support. So that was like my first goal. Like, let's get to the part where I don't have to wait for, you know, the 15th of every month. And then from there, it's just kind of grown and grown and grown. And my definition of success at this point is just how many people can I help? Obviously, you know, getting to make money and be financially independent was a big part of that. But now it's just how many people can I reach? How many people can I get to? How many women can I? How many women, how many men, how many people can I help? So the definition. Yeah,
I love that. And I think that's so important with what you do in your vision. It's become so much more than just, hey, listen, I can pay the mortgage, right? And yeah. It's become now it's, and I always say that, like, you know, it starts usually a little selfishly, like just like us all, right? Whatever we start to do. And then all of a sudden you start to realize the mission and the influence and the impact that you can have on other people. And especially, I know you have a very sweet spot for single moms, right? And what that looks like. And maybe you could talk to us a little bit about that because you have a lot on your plate. I mean, how do you manage all that? And how did you manage it as you were starting to grow into, you know, the successes that you had and find the time? Because I know that's so many people want to start something new or want to do, you know, have their definition of success maybe in 2022, but they're like, I just can't find the time and never, you know, and then also maybe, you know, not having the support of a spouse.
Yes. So yeah, I obviously have not had the support of a spouse, although my ex-husband is very supportive of me like doing my thing. He's always been very, very supportive of any career I've wanted to do and being as a mom. And, you know, he wants me to be the best I can be as well. So that is amazing. But no, as a single mom, yeah, I just, when they were really little, I stayed home as much as I could. And I was lucky enough to get to stay home with them. And then it got, you know, as they got to go to school, I just kind of kept trying to work more and more. But obviously during COVID, when the whole world shut down, that was probably the worst time for me. I had just gone through my makeup certification class, had the entire summer booked up for weddings and lost every single booking because of COVID. So that's when I really jumped into like the online makeup company pharmacy. It's something I can do from my home or my car in the middle of a pandemic because women are still going to buy makeup. People are still going to buy skincare. So I more so spent that year of 2020 trying to find companies that I could work with, that I could work with any day of the week, no matter what the world was going through, if we were in a shutdown or not, how could I still be making money is kind of how I worked out COVID. So.
Yeah. So you found yourself in like this precarious situation, right? Just like the rest of the world with COVID. You were this renowned makeup artist, right? That was like driving all over the place, doing weddings, doing this, doing that, right? And you had this super successful business and literally in a snap, it was gone, right?
Yeah.
And you knew you needed to pivot.
Yeah. So when the makeup artistry portion of that year kind of stopped, that's when I really focused in on exactly, I couldn't go, none of us could go anywhere. So yeah, I started doing the makeup tutorials, started doing more of the makeup videos. Cause yeah, women still want to interact with other women, especially during a year where nobody can leave their house, and women still want to feel beautiful, even in the middle of a pandemic. Like, we all still want to feel our best. So there were pros and cons to that year. And the pros for me were definitely finding those niches that I could stay in through COVID and for the rest forever. Like I wanted to find businesses that were indestructible even during a pandemic.
Almost bulletproof. So you had to pivot and you had to make a big change. Now, why makeup? Like what about makeup? Like, just, I know you have such a passion for it. Talk to people a little bit about why you chose that path.
Makeup and beauty has pretty much always been a huge, you know, I always grew up watching my aunts put on makeup, watching my mom. I always had very classy, lovely ladies in my family that always looked their best. So I grew up watching, you know, them put on their jewelry, put on their lipstick, doing all of that. So as I got older, it just kind of naturally was always something I was interested in. I think the big change for me was a couple of years ago when I went through cancer, I got introduced to Chelsea Smith, who does the wigs. That was a big entrance into the beauty industry that I wasn't planning at all. I never planned on being a girl that wore wigs or wore lashes or did any of this. But so it was kind of finding her that I really kind of entered into that next level of beauty, which was more of the lashes and the wigs and the whole look, not so much just makeup. But she was also my person that I learned from. I watched her do her makeup, was watching how she did things. So she was a great mentor. But also opened up an entirely different stream of income through wigs, lashes, and helping women in that way. So that was a big turning point. I think for me, for the beauty industry, was meeting her.
Yeah. And I'm sure you resonate with so many people who have dealt with cancer. So talk to us a little bit about what did that look like in life? I mean, another massive like situation in your life that probably came unexpected. And how did you find out you even had cancer?
I've had issues with, have pretty much since the minute I got my period all those years ago, it's been a down world. It's been a flipping nightmare. So this wasn't completely unexpected, but it was definitely unexpected. But it came at the weirdest time when the world was like shutting down. So it was a very different, it was a very lonely situation. You couldn't bring people with you. Doctor's offices were like, it was just awful. It was probably the worst way to experience any kind of medical situation. And I would assume that anybody who went through anything medically during 2020, just how you were treated in a hospital, if you were a sick person, it was just awful. But I had lots of downtime, lots of time to think and lots of time to, you know, kind of put my plan together. And that's how I started meeting girls along the lines too, where people were sending me women like, this girl, she's going through cancer. This girl has alopecia. This girl has lost her hair through stress or weight loss. So it was kind of me constantly sharing my story. And that's how I was meeting more girls that I've been able to help. And that's, I mean, I would go through it all over again just to meet the same people, because so many things have been put in motion, and there's been so many women I've been able to reach out and help that wouldn't have known where to start with this wig journey or this entire journey, unless someone was sharing about it. So,
right. And you were willing to take, you know, what most people would look like as a, you know, a horrible situation, which it was, and not negating any of that, but turn it into something really remarkable in making an impact and helping other women. And now speaking out with, you know, cancer awareness and talking about, hey, listen, how you can still show up and feel beautiful, even probably in some of the most unbeautiful days of your life, like inside of you, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think it just goes to show you, as women, we, you know, we want to be beautiful on the inside and the outside, but how in this world, I'm not saying you have to look like a supermodel, but you want to feel good. You want to, whether that's, you know, as a woman, when you lose your hair or you lose your eyelashes, that's devastating. Like there is, like, I've watched girls pull their eyelashes out from cancer, and it is one of the worst things, because it's like, that's for our whole lives. That's what's kind of, we've been told that's what makes us beautiful, how we look on the outside. So you lose your hair, you lose your lashes, you lose all these things, and you're kind of, you're just, it takes, so it strips away who you are as a woman. Mm-hmm. So I think that was, you know, I totally love women that can rock the bald head or do any of that. And I think there's so much power in that, but there's also a lot of power in putting on a wig and just feeling good about yourself, or maybe just turning your day around. If it's a day you're not feeling great, throwing on a great wig. I mean, I have hair now, and I still do that. And it's the best way to like turn a day around when you're not feeling very good and you throw on a brand new wig. Oh my gosh. There is like nothing can make you feel better.
Yeah. It's crazy. And you know, like, and probably years ago, you didn't even think about that. Like, it wasn't even part of like, you know what I mean? Your normal routine. And now just having the awareness to it. How did you work on the inner side of you? Like, okay. So the beauty on the outside, I mean, you're absolutely stunning. You have this gorgeous hair, these lashes, like, you know, but yet you're still dealing with a, you know, with cancer, right? And there's probably a lot mentally and emotionally that you're fighting with. What were some of your coping mechanisms there? Someone maybe that's dealing with this right now, or just someone that may be a caregiver for someone.
Honestly, I think when I started to really try to help others is really when it changed for me. Just because you're getting to know other women and you're hearing other stories and you're not feeling so alone. I think that's the worst part of any kind of battle that involves health, is just that loneliness, because you start to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm the only person going through this. So once you start to really reach out and help others, you start to just feel like the inside starts to feel better, because you're reaching out and allowing other people to hear your story, but also just talking about there's some really dark sides to any kind of health battle, but women go through a lot with health, and it's a lot that's not talked about. So I think that's when I started to really feel better and feel that shift in myself, was when I really started to reach out and help others. It made the battle so much easier and so much more worthwhile, I guess, or worth it, because I just felt like I could finally, you know, if God's going to give you something that horrible to deal with, try to make it the best you can, try to spin it and do whatever you can to make it a positive. So, oh, I think you're muted. Did you get muted?
I am. Thank you so much. You know, I try to do that because, you know, during these, it's talking about getting gritty, right? You know, kids are home, you have tons of things going on. I always try to make sure, like, hey, listen, I'm not going to have, like, you know, the kid walk in and, like,
oh, just, yeah.
Yet again, that's all part of my podcast, right? I try to make this as real and gritty as we can, within reason, and still keep it, you know, somewhat semi-professional in the sense that, yep. you know, this is real life, ladies and gentlemen. Like, it's yep. not, you know, I don't try to sugarcoat this. There's many times that I'm sitting in my closet doing this podcast because right. it sounds actually better. So, you know, we do what we need to do, and it's just a beautiful part. But, you know, what I heard Jessica just say is, you know, helping others helped her. Right. It probably took yeah. some of the day-to-day like thoughts and emotion and scarcity and fear away from you because you needed to be powerful for someone else who needed you. And yeah. how powerful and impressive it is that you were able to do that at such an early time of like your diagnosis. Like that is to me just really says so much about your character. And who you are and what you were willing to give back immediately before you even had your solution.
Yeah.
Right.
And really it's when you know, you start, I think my solution kind of started to come after I realized how much joy I got out of helping other people. And just, yeah, that was kind of where, that was where my happy place became through that battle. Cause it was, you know, you're entering that. And then the pandemic started. I think I had a breakup that happened too, like shortly before. It was a horrible way to end.
Talk about like triple or a quadruple or, you know, I don't know, 10 tuplet,
yeah.
you know, challenges going on.
But yeah, I started, the joy that I started to really feel out of helping other women. Even if it was just a girl like that said, I've never worn a wig before and I have no idea where to start, like help. Like it was such a great, cause I'm like, I'm practically an expert now. And it's such a silly little thing, but it's something that like, once you figure out how to wear, especially if you are sick or you do have cancer, it just having somebody that you can talk to and have somebody that will come over to your house and help you get fitted for a wig. Like it's going to make both people feel good. Like there's no way around that. So,
right. But yeah. Right. And how powerful that is. Right. So let's switch gears a little bit. If you could spend one day shadowing anyone in the world, who would it be and why would you choose them? And I'm just so curious. I cannot wait to hear your response to this.
So I have a couple answers because this was actually really funny. Like I actually loved this question. I would follow Kris Jenner one everywhere. And I just want to see like what she does like on a day. On the daily, like what's her daily like routine. But one of the companies I work with, Prime Body, I am fortunate enough to work with a team of amazing men, and I would follow probably three of them because number one, they're so bougie that I just really want to see what their lives are like. Like I just want to like be them for a day, but also they're so business oriented and their mentalities are so amazing that I would love to sit in on like every business meeting and like every little, I just want to hear the conversations that take place all day. Like, cause these guys never stop. We kind of all never stop, but they're on such a different level than I am because they're in different businesses, but I really just want to sit in like in on their meetings for like a whole day. Just like,
yeah. And just kind of like the inside scoop of like what they're actually doing. Right
there. Their mentality and all their little tips and tricks. And I know that I could ask any one of them and I have like, give me all the secrets, but I would really just like to
be that fly on the wall
And just hang out with them for a whole day.
Right.
I mean, no exception.
You know, and I do think that's so important. Like just cause I can think of so many people in that way. And I'm really glad you said that. Like, it wasn't necessarily like, you know, like all these infamous people or, you know what I mean? It's everyday business people, like at the end of the day, I mean, yeah, they're super powerful and they're successful, but it's people that are just still doing the do, right? They're showing up every day. They're not, they weren't handed, you know, a small island from their parents and you know what I mean? Like they're, or necessarily have this fame that they're this, you know, singer or a, you know, baseball player or something that they like, they had to work for their success. Oh. And I think there's something that's so sexy about that.
And they've reinvented themselves like all three of, I mean, this whole group, they've all, yeah, none of them are handed anything. They've built their own stuff and they've been knocked down. They've built themselves back up. They've lost everything. They've had cars repossessed, homes repossessed, divorce. I mean, they've gone through it all and they've always built themselves back up. And it's like crazy to watch. I'm the luckiest girl in the world to get to work with all the different people that I do, but Prime Body for sure, because the people I work with, they're just so intense and so amazing at what they do, but they're a different breed of human.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that grit, right? That's like, just go after it. And when people like yourself get that and have that in them, that flame. And there's a lot of people that don't get that. Like, there's a lot of people that don't quite frankly get me. Sometimes they're like, you're always going, you're doing this. And they're like, oh my goodness. I couldn't, like, I wouldn't even want that life. And I'm like, it's okay. That's why it's my life and not your life. But people sometimes don't understand that level of that sensation of like, hey, listen, I just want to like, there's so much I want to do on this world. Right. And there's so few days that you actually get to spend here, like living each day to the fullest and really just next leveling your life and other people's life, but with impact and saying yes and falling down and picking back up and going sideways. And sometimes you're going to the moon and other days you feel like, oh my goodness, I am never going to get out of this rut. And that all those emotions and that roller coaster is all part of being, you know, just someone that wants to go after their goals and dreams, entrepreneurial, someone that just is forward thinking, that is like, listen, if she can do it, I can do it. And I have this burning desire to make a difference.
Oh yeah. I love, like, if I want to crawl into bed every night and like pass out, I want to like into bed completely exhausted, barely had enough energy to take my makeup off. Like, that's how I want to go to bed maybe not every single night, but like 5 nights out of 7.
Yeah. Oh, I get it, Jessica. And that's the way, it's so funny. Cause like people say, they're like, you sleep for like a short amount of time. This and then I'm like, I don't need a lot. It's like plugging like the Energizer bunny back in. I was like, but when my head hits that pillow, like done out, like people that tell me they have problems sleeping, I'm like, I don't get that.
Yeah. And it's the same thing in the morning. Like the second I wake up, like I like to take a couple minutes to kind of get my day going and then I'm going and like, we're jamming all day long. We're not stopping.
Yeah.
For the base.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What are two or three things that you do every morning that are like non-negotiable that set that tone for the next 24 hours or the next 18 hours? Cause you're probably that type that like sleeps for 6 and is jamming for 18.
I definitely, first thing when I wake up, I have a little devotional thing that I do that kind of sets the tone for my spiritual side. I do stretch because, you know, I'm getting older and those bodies, everything's not working. Basic stretches. And then I get out my planner. I write notes down. I need a pencil or a Sharpie in my planner and I'm crossing things out. I'm making little notes. I need to call this person, you know, and then I'm pretty much going through and just setting up. I like to have a solid, you know, list for the day. And I have, you know, my big things that I'm working on every day and then my little things. But yeah, my number one, three things for the morning are my devotional, just getting up and moving my body and then just sitting down and making a plan for the day because I have to have a plan.
Yeah. And you know what, like, you know, well begun is half done. And what she's saying is like, you know, within that first hour, probably within that, knowing her, probably within that first 20 minutes, she knows what her plan looks like for the day. And I'll tell you, I do that also a lot. Like I'll look at the entire week on Sunday. And again, I won't know every little thing of every day, but I'll look like big picture, like, okay, listen, I have 2 podcasts this week and I have these 3 business meetings and I have to make sure I have, you know, date night with, you know, my husband or my kids have these 2 games and like making sure like I know what that looks like and then where I'm going to fit in that other time. Right. And really, cause if I don't have that plan, I don't do that exactly what you're talking about. My week gets thrown off and I'm sure there's days where either you don't have like your Sharpie with you or your planner with you. And it just like, I almost lost my to-do list yesterday. And it like literally was, I was like, deep breath. Like it's all going to work out. Like you can recreate it. And at the same time, I'm like, this is my life. Right. And I'm still a pen to paper type girl.
I was cleaning the house yesterday. My boyfriend's watching me. He's like, what are you doing? I like went to the kitchen to do one thing. And then I would go to the laundry room and start another. He's like, you've got like 19. And I'm like, I know, it's because I didn't have a list. I didn't have like a plan. So I'm just like bouncing around from corner to corner, like doing little things, but not really getting anything done. Cause yeah, I have to have like a list. My brain just goes too fast and too much. If I don't have the list, I won't stop. I'll just keep going.
Everything goes on my calendar. Like I cannot every little thing.
If I could put like have to go to the bathroom on my calendar, I probably would.
I love it. But it's important, right? It's important. And it, quite frankly, it's important to make sure you're putting your self-care on there, right? It's important. Totally. You're defending that time because so many, especially women, at the end of the day are like, I took no time for myself. And then they feel burnt out and stressed out. And they're like, I'm so exhausted. And they're exhausted at like, you know, 9 o'clock at night saying, oh my goodness, I wish like, you know, I had a little bit of mojo to like after the kids go to bed and all this sort of stuff. And so making sure you make that time for that self-care too, I think is so important. So, you know, you obviously have a lot of missions, a lot of things going on. You know, one of the questions that, you know, has tended, you know, to come up in, you know, when you start a new business venture is like maybe not feeling supported by either the people around you or your spouse or a significant other, or how do you deal with that? Cause you're doing a lot of different things and I'm sure not everyone is like, rah, rah, let's go, Jessica. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to call them haters. Yeah. A lot of people
I call them straight up haters.
Okay. Well then let's be blunt here. How do you deal with that?
You know, that has been one of the things that I probably dealt with the most the last couple of months, which has been crazy because a lot of it has unfortunately come from within my own family. I lost my dad in August and he was a big supporter, but definitely, now that he's gone, I've noticed that he was my hype person and everybody else was just kind of like, you know, he really wants to know all the answers. He wanted to know all the information and he would love it, whether it didn't care what it was. Like it could be makeup, which he obviously was like, makeup, what, like, what are you going to do with that? But he was just always very supportive. And, so yeah. And then obviously not having, you know, doing a lot of this as a single mom, I've just had to learn to be my biggest supporter. I hype myself up the most. Nobody can hype myself up like I can. I do have some great girlfriends that I go to, but yeah, you 100% have to be your biggest, supporter, your biggest, everything, because there are times where people are going to think you are completely crazy. And most people think that of me. I've had people, you know, question every business I'm in. And, you know, all I say is just, you know, if you don't want to watch, you can unfollow or you can sit back and watch. That's fine. Learn something. I hope. I don't know what to tell you. But I just keep doing my thing. The hate at this point drives me because I don't want to see, I don't want people to see me fail. I'm working so hard and I've built myself up this far. You know, the haters, definitely over time, you learn to appreciate them. You learn to take that negative energy that they give off and turn it into something positive because I don't want anybody to see me fail. That's a huge motivation for me every single morning is I've got people to prove wrong.
Yeah. I love that. And I will tell you that those haters are my fuel. Like they don't realize it. They're like trying to like beat me down and like bring me down. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like you are in my life for a reason and with purpose and it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be cheering me on, but you are giving me so much fuel to want to excel, to want to exceed, to want a next level. Because failure is not an option. And it doesn't mean that I may not feel at task A, but test B, C, and D, I'm going to knock out of the park. It may take me 4 failures before I have that success. And I'm okay with that, right? Because that's just part of that journey. And I think so many of us, that gets in the way, right? And we have to like utilize those people in those relationships and recognize that it's really not about you, that it's really about them. You know, that's why they're hating on you. It's something else that's going on within them. And if you can give them grace and say, wow, they're in my life for a reason because they are my fuel. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It takes a while though. That is not easy to get to. I mean, Jessica and I mean, I'm sure we could write a book on how many times we felt that way. Right.
Yeah. Well, cause especially growing up, you're like, I was always, you wanted everybody to like you. Now I'm like, I don't really care if anybody likes you. One of my friends always says the same thing, says, love me or hate me, I'm still making money.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, but I think whenever you have haters, I think that is, if you are in a position where you have people that are not liking something, you have to understand that it's either something that you're doing that they're uncomfortable with, like they're watching you grow in a way that they're not okay with, or it's a bit of like a, I wish I could do that. So a lot of times that's kind of what I think too. Like when I have situations where I come across people that are very hateful, I just remind myself, like, you know, they're obviously, I've got something that's making them uncomfortable, whether it's the ability that, or maybe it's the freedom that I have given myself to make these choices or to say yes or take chances or take risks. Cause not everybody's like that. There's a ton of people that like to sit in a very comfortable zone. And I was like that for most of my life. But I started to realize that that's not where the fun doesn't start, in the comfort zone. That's like, you got to go right out of that to get anything accomplished and to have any kind of success. And, you know, I know that I'm one, a small percentage of people, and I totally understand why people look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, this girl is crazy. And I am batshit crazy.
It's okay. It's okay. Well, I mean, a little slice of crazy has never hurt anyone. I guarantee 100%. If you were to interview like the top 500 entrepreneurs, you know, in the country, most of them would have crazy right at the top of their list.
All of them have a little bit inside.
And some of them have a lot of it, and it's okay. Yeah, and to me, being crazy obsessive about your goals. And when I say, we say crazy, not like necessarily, you know, and some other people may look at it as a negative, but really having that, just that energy to be like, yes, I'm going after it. And I know some people are like, don't take that other thing on, Erica. You're crazy to think that you could fit one more thing on your plate. And I'm like, to them, I look crazy. To myself, I'm like, oh my goodness, you don't even understand what the gates this is going to open and where this is going to go. And the excitement I feel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like when I get a new business venture, it's like having another baby. It's like so exciting. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Obviously you don't know. I mean, you don't know how it's all going to work out, but it's like, you're just, yeah, you have to have a little bit of crazy to take on to have a business venture come to you and say like, oh, I'll sign up for that. Like, that's crazy.
Yep. Okay. So let's end this with a bang. So if we were to go back, rewind in time, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, what is like one piece of advice, someone, maybe a younger viewer listening to us right now, you would tell him or her, or maybe it's just someone right now that you would be like, hey, listen, if there's any advice, this is what I would have told myself if I were, you know, the younger version of me that I wish I didn't like get in my way.
Oh, I think when I was 18, I remember being, it was so kind of, you know, put on me to go to college and do all of that, which I still love. But I think just thinking outside the box, I was kind of taught to very traditional, like, you get married, you got your kids, you get a job, you work 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, you know, get Christmas off, you know, you might take vacation once every 6 years. Like, and once I got to that place, I was like, this is not going to work. I would rather eat glass than sit in any office from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. So think outside the box and just feel free to create your own life. You can create if you want to go be an entrepreneur and do whatever you want. Like, you have the power, especially at 18. You're like a little, you know, the whole world is out there. Just think outside the box, get creative and decide exactly what the life you want and make a plan to get it. It's doesn't necessarily have to involve a 4-year college or a big fancy degree. But yeah, pick the passions you have, take them, write them down, figure out how you can make the life you want and get busy.
Let's go. Yeah. Roll up those sleeves and get after it. And like I said, like, and it doesn't mean, I always say, listen, even if I could go back to 28 again, you know, it doesn't mean to be 18. I was like 28. I would have been a lot even smarter. Like the things that I know now, I'm like, whoa, like I, you know, and it's, again, I have no regrets, right? You can't live life that way. Cause I'm like, listen, thank goodness. You know, by at 38, I learned it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, listen, I am ready to just tackle it and go after it and send it to the, you know, the that next level. And I see you doing that. And you are such an inspiration to so many people. And regardless of what it is, anyone that's listening to this, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you do work in corporate America, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, like, what, I don't care who, stay-at-home dad, like, whatever you are, just go after it with passion, right? Because we all have different purpose. And thank God we're not all entrepreneurial. And thank God we're not all want to be in corporate America. Like, thank God we all take different avenues and different paths. And that's the beautiful part about life and our journeys. And as we embark upon, you know, whether, you know, just our vision for what the rest of 2022 is going to look like. I mean, it's so exciting to be like, listen, clean slate, let's go take on those visions. And Jessica, just, you filled us up with so much greatness today. Your story is absolutely remarkable. I mean, where you've been, where you're going, the impact and the influence that you're making on other people. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your time today. I want to thank you for just flooding us with just golden nuggets in today and just being you, like just being authentically you. And that's one of the things that is like so attractive about you, from a female to another female, just watching you be like, you know what, this is me. You know, come like it, take it as it is. And if you don't, it's okay. Right. Who's next? Right.
Right.
It's not you. It's someone else. Right. Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's when, you know, you're really being genuine to your inner soul and to your inner self. So anything you want to leave us with, best place for people to find you, any other mission that you want to, where we can help you.
I'm switching things around at Chelsea Smith Cosmetics. We're fixing and kind of embarking on a new journey with a nonprofit called I'm Here For You, or I'm Here For You. So it's going to be helping women with any kind of hair loss situation. So that's kind of my next big thing that has nothing to do with financial independence or anything to do with me. That is strictly helping other women. So I'll be posting a lot about that. Hopefully come January, we'll start to get some women in our office space and get some testimonials happening and some videos and just some fun stuff of me getting to do what I really love, which is fit women with wigs and lashes and get them feeling really confident so they can take on these crazy battles. So that's probably the next big thing. That's coming.
Love that. What an exciting way to like go into this new year with that. And when you get all that information out, please share it. I would love to like put it out there. And if you have, when we put the show notes in here, if there's any place that people can start to take a peek at that or how they can start to support you or help you. I know there's probably people that are listening to this right now that are like dying. They're like, want to go through the screen. Like, how do I get in touch with Jessica? Where do I find her? And it's Jessica Megan, M-E-A, right?
So my Instagram is ITS Jessica Megan, and it's Megan, MEAGAN.
Yep. So, and all that will be in the show notes, guys. Yeah, but let me tell you, this woman, she's one you want to watch. She's one you want to follow. She's going to be doing some absolutely phenomenal things in 2022. I just feel it. It's all like gunning up, ready to go. She's already done so many wonderful things. But Jessica, thank you so much for joining us on Grit, Grace, and Glitz. Guys, keep tuning in. Tell other people about this podcast. You need to hear from these people. They are so inspiring. What they will do to remind us to get gritty and to go after our goals in life, to make sure we're giving ourselves the grace that we deserve and we need in life to be able to propel to that next level. And lastly, celebrating all of the wonderful things we're doing each and every day with that glitz and that excitement, and celebrating other people, cheering them on, especially other people that we want to raise up as we rise ourselves. So with that being said, thank you again so much, Jessica, here from Grit, Grace, and Glitz. Have an awesome day.
I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all-new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.